The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October 2005.
Thank you so much, Michael Jason. Boy, we like hearing George's voice and Edwin's. And even that old guy, whatever. But this is Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit witless professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers here in Motown. I'd like to introduce today's panel to you and then our special guest, or I should say guests in the plural. So let me start at the far end of the table. From the Department of Communication Studies, our media maven himself, it's Professor Jerry Kurtzinger.
NOS program.
Excellent.
I spent about an hour talking about that a little while ago. Trust me. Who is the director? Is it not Rob?
Stephen Manning.
Manning is. Okay.
Yes.
I know it shifted.
Yes, it did. It truly did.
And I'm here because I'm not at hockey for a change.
But we are so glad, that Puck is back in our lives.
Oh, yes.
I couldn't stand another one of those CBC movies on Saturday night. If I didn't see Laurent pretty soon, I was going to lose
my mind. The worst part,
though,
is I think Exxon Third, I think, is no more.
I know. Oh, so. And we send out condolences, first of all, to Tony Bruce. Tony. And very sadly, Tony's mother has passed away. So again, our deepest sympathies and condolences to the whole Bruce family, who always treated us like family. So we're sad to hear that. Truly, I know that the issue is a legalistic one. It's the famous Michigan Liquor Control Board's thing that is just poor Tony. So we had hopes and prayers that things work out for Tony and that someday we'll be back down at Max eating some hamburgers and taping some great shows.
Indeed.
Indeed. Now to Jerry's right and my left, from the Department of Mathematics, from Engineering and Sciences, it's Professor Jeff Bose.
Now I'm all confused. You're using these left-right permutations and I'm all scrambled.
Well, but you're a math guy, so you can straighten them out. If anybody can do vectors,
like me.
I was going to say, my money's on you for graphing theory and everything else there, Jeff.
No, I'll do my best.
Okay, good man yourself. And next to Jeff and next to me, from the Department of Philosophy, it's soon to be paroled chair, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Can't be soon enough, but I'll be patient.
Don't stop the music, dear.
Are they going to make me wear a low jack for a while, or just in case they...
Now, to my right, the hardest working director of the honors program ever at this university, I'd like to introduce Professor Dave Kokel.
Thank you so much.
And no, you are. This Dave has truly done magnificent work. We have a record number of freshmen this year taking honors courses. Dave has worked like a demon to get that schedule. He has done and dealt with the chairs better than anyone since Al Capone or myself. And I stand in awe of
I'm blushing. I'm blushing.
As you should be, because you really...
Yeah, really.
And more than anything, he was not checkicized. So,
that's right.
Or dosulated.
I couldn't be dosified.
Yeah, we do not want that. And our special guest today, sitting next to David, which is appropriate, is someone who has a master's in library science from Duquesne University. We'd like to welcome Sharon Vlahovic with us today.
Thank you so much.
And we are so glad you could be here.
I had it for correction, though. She got her master's from Pitt.
Oh, forgive me.
Very upset about that.
We don't want... So you're one of those Pitt... No, wait, what was the Pitt school name?
University of Pittsburgh.
No, but I mean...
The Panthers.
I'm on my junior year in Ireland, a woman from Pittsburgh who went to Pitt. I was trying to think of the animal because we both joined the fencing team to take hot showers because we didn't die for a hot shower in Ireland, let me tell you. And she insisted on wearing her Pitt hat even at University College Cork events. And so she was the first one to kind of wear a hip-hop style. And
so that's where that came from.
So that was always that. So I always say, Annie, you started the hip-hop generation, girl. And now as the Catholic mother of seven, I wonder how her children... I should get a hold of her kids. Yeah, that's how
I'll do. I got fellow ex-Pittsburghers here. I got to ask, especially since you were at the Pitt.
That's right.
You must have sampled the fine cuisine at the O, right? The original hot dogs.
Oh, yes.
With a small fry serve six?
Small fries serve six.
Ow.
If they were big eaters. Yeah.
But did you ever have a
pierogi? That's my kind of fry order.
Oh.
Did you ever have a pierogi pizza at Michael's on the south side?
I think so.
No. My auntie brothers, they just put the fries
right in the sandwich, yeah.
But the pierogi pizza was actually what it was. It was potato. Basically, it wasn't pierogi pizza. It was a pizza with mashed potatoes on it.
Is this near the hockey arena? Because I'm going there next week.
I was
going
to say,
that sounds really dry.
Pittsburgh. Everything's close in Pittsburgh.
Yes, so we have three people that attended graduate school at Pearson in Pittsburgh, Sharon, Dave, and Jeff
as well.
The
big three, too, the big three colleges there.
That's right, so Pitt, Duquesne, and Carnegie Mellon, correct?
Yep.
Indeed. Or Carnegie.
Carnegie. Gotta say it right. Say it with a Scottish accent.
We could try to do the show where we have to actually speak the Pittsburgh lexicon, which is where you actually, you know, you rubber bands become gummy bands, and you drop your infinitive, like you say, this room needs vacuum.
You drop it right out.
Needs vacuum.
Yeah. And instead of y'all, you say yins. Pittsburghers are called yinzers. Like yins going to the hockey game tonight. Well, we know.
Jerry will be. Jerry will certainly be going to a hockey game.
Is that what you're doing? HD Net truck.
They've got a rocking team this year.
The poor Pens.
The kid from Canada, yeah. Crosby, is playing for them.
Yeah, but they haven't won a game yet.
The pride of Steel Cove.
They sent a reporter.
Nova Scotia.
They have a reporter that
from the Toronto Globe and Mail that's there full time.
Has an apartment. That's the job.
That's right. She is now part
in Pittsburgh.
That's what we call Crosby Nation. Okay.
Did you get the email on Hockey Comes to Belfast? Did you get the one I forwarded to you?
Yes, I did. I loved it.
The Canadian Film Board. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, this is the show where you can send us questions on hockey, on French fries, on philosophy, on mathematics, on film, or whatever you want. And if you stump the panel, you will win a fabulous T-shirt as well as the autographed photograph or photographed autograph. And if you don't stump us, you get a prize. So what you got to lose out there? Okay, we should say the non-winners package, not a losers package. That's not very kind. So how do you get on this experience? Well, you can do it a couple ways via email. You may email me. That's bushkt@udmercy.edu. You may even fax the professor at area code 313-993-1266. Or, you know, go get a stamp and slap it on an envelope and send it to University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. The last time we had some questions from Bert Tilley of Atala, Alabama, who has been a longtime listener and certainly has given us some of the best questions. He always has questions for the panel, and some are general questions and some are specific. So we want to give Jeff an opportunity to answer his question, which was, Jeff, were you one of those child prodigies?
I was doing weird, funny stuff when I was young. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Now, the general question to...
Well, by that standard, I'm a prodigy.
I was going to say... Well, but were they things that were brainy and perhaps
I skipped
different?
A lot of grades when I was young. Like I was seven
that
years old in the fifth grade.
Okay, I'm out of the process.
Wow,
that was a weird adjustment, yeah.
Oh, well, you've done okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Now, the general question, which I certainly want to give Dave and Sharon a chance to answer, is do you own a tire pressure gauge?
Yes.
Sharon absolutely insists on it. In fact, she's upgraded recently.
And I know how to use it.
Yeah. I don't know how to use one.
I know how to use it.
Who taught you?
My dad.
So did my dad. I'm so glad to hear that. He said that a woman should know how to change a tire, mm-hmm. check the air, you know, check the oil, water, and all of that. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, don't be dependent. Learn how to do that.
Actually, Sharon does all the car maintenance in our house.
Excellent. Yes. And we had one last question from Bert that we didn't get to, actually. And here it is, because this is the determinant we figured out. Well, let's throw this Jeff Wise to make sure that Dan was right. 12 out of 16 is what percentage?
75%.
Excellent. Dan is on the mark.
Wow. Even I can calculate that one.
No, I couldn't.
The first two-thirds of this of its upper section forms an international border. Typically 1.25 mile wide in this section, it widens at points to form Lake St. Francis and Lake St. Louis. Its middle section includes Lac Saint-Pierre, and its lower section is as wide as 90 miles. Named the second longest river in Canada.
I can name the first.
Okay, now.
The same North Seaway is going to be the first, eh?
Huh?
No?
Is Bert Canadian?
No, Bert is from Atala, Alabama.
Okay.
So.
Is there such thing as a Quebec River?
No, but this river is in Quebec, and... I think
usually I stop at the end of Ontario.
How about the Ottawa River, if there is such
a St. Lawrence River?
It is the St. Lawrence River. Okay. The Ottawa River Valley is...
There is an Ottawa River.
There is an Ottawa River, absolutely.
There's rafting on the Ottawa River.
And there is...
Yeah. If you just start naming provinces in Canada, you're going to get it.
Okay, Bert, I'm sorry, buddy. You didn't stump us, but let's get you a new T-shirt, and we definitely want to make sure we get the photo when it's ready to you. Okay. And we have another set of questions that comes to us from Tom DeWitt of Farmington Hills, Michigan.
He's becoming a regular.
Regular. He said, I heard you ask my questions this morning on the radio. First of all, I have not sent you any questions about musicals in the past. Somebody thought that Tom had sent us musical questions. But he said, I don't know if I'll do so in the future. But He said, you asked what led to the teaming up of the Adventures of Superman radio show. So I'll try to tell you briefly. The plot in the radio show was very simple. Batman was missing. So Robin came to Metropolis to ask for Superman's assistance in finding the Caped Crusader.
So I would have known this.
He said the 1952 comic book story was a bit more involved, that Clark Kent was going on an ocean voyage for his vacation when he was informed that the ship was overbooked and was asked to share his room with another passenger who turned out to be
Bruce Wayne.
Because if you make two passengers share, you pick you pick the richest guy to have to share.
Well, this is that, and he's saying here, and I love Tom's comment here in parentheses, you would think that with all his money, Bruce Wayne could afford to have gotten private quarters, but I guess that would have spoiled the story.
But it wasn't in steerage either.
No, I mean, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Okay. Ooh, did they fight over Lois Lane? Ooh, yes.
Rawr.
An interesting element, a zee-guzzy-guzzy. Was that Lois Lane seemed to have an interest in the Caped Crusader over the Man of Steel. Lois, yeah, teasing little tart, yeah.
Yeah, go for the psycho over the straight guy.
That's kind of interesting. Anyway, he said, now to some new business and new questions. A few questions about James Bond.
We can only get one wrong.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3. 8. So that's not right. What that's percentage?
87.5. Oh, yes.
Get
I was going
to
give you a run for your money, but it's not my most.
Okay. Who was the first actor to play James Bond?
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
No. This is dealing with a 1954 series.
Not the pressure.
Television series. Oh. Yeah.
So it wasn't George Lazenby either.
No, it wasn't.
I never even heard of this.
This is very odd. Okay, let's see. Let me help you with some clues. The last name is the same name as a 50s family, a happy TV family.
The Nelson.
That's
Cleavers.
Right, Nelson. Okay. And the first name is the same name as someone who actually, let's see, he started off as being Bette Midler's piano player.
Barry Manilow.
Okay, so Barry Nelson.
That's how they advertised when Manilow first went solo.
I know.
In the Detroit News, the entertainment section, it was Barry Manilow. And then beneath it, it said Bette Midler's musical director.
Because they first met when she was singing at the Bass in New York City. That's how he was a piano player at the bathhouse there. One of the more popular ones of
his
the 70s.
His Alive album was one of my first records.
There we go. He writes that
that explains a lot.
That Barry Nelson starred in the 1954 TV show that was became a series called Climax, and one of the shows was an adaptation of Ian Fleming's novel Casino Royale.
Oh, that would explain why they never made a movie out of it. I guess the next one is going to be, they're going to start all over again from the beginning and do Casino Royale.
Now, this I find really strange because they refer to him during this as Jimmy Bond. I just do not imagine James Bond as a Jimmy.
It's Jimmy Allen in Casino Royale is Jimmy. Remember that?
Valerie Mathis plays Linda Christensen, making her the first Bond girl. And Peter Lorre became the first Bond villain when he played Le Chief.
Oh, well, he'd be good.
Le Chief, digit.
Yeah, but Peter Lorre, that's an interesting role. Okay. Sean Connery was not the original choice for the movie role of 007. Isn't that interesting? And when I learned of this fact and who was considered for the role, I thought that this veteran actor would have made a great James Bond.
Hervé Villechaize.
Richard Harris.
Who did I hear?
Cary Grant.
Cary Grant, absolutely.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because think of him as John Robbie in To Catch a Thief.
Cary Grant would, you know, when you think
about
it.
He has that wonderful repartee with Grace Kelly in that movie.
He'd actually be a funnier Bond. Because he was really great.
I like his comment here. Could you think of Mae West as a Bond girl?
No way.
No, I don't see Mae West as a Bond girl. The reason I love this, Tom worked at the Borders where we taped live, and he heard me make the comment how dismayed I was that while there have been specials on W.C. Fields, I've really ever seen anything on Mae West, who really had a Broadway career. She did a number of different things.
And he sent us those questions.
He sent us the questions on Mae West. So thank you, Tom. What
that
a good memory.
That was a cool place to go once I found it. Across 8 Mile all that much.
Yeah, that was a little. Yeah, I know. I thought I was going to have to get my passport stamped, but you know, I kind of have that dissonance in that way. Okay. When assignments would take Bond to the USA, he would often have the cooperation of the CIA and the help of CIA agent Felix Leiter. Many different actors played this role in the movies, the first being Jack Lord.
Tony Burke.
One actor, however, played the role of Felix twice. Who was it, and in what movies did he play this role?
By the way, remember, we can't get anything else wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get all 007 of the rest right.
This is like, oh my God.
The movies would be, I'll say Goldfinger and Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die is one of them. This is true.
And the next one is The Spy Who Loved Me.
Another film that begins with an L. I can give you that clue.
Live and Let Die.
We did Love and Let Die. I think, is a later film. You need one to drive, not to die.
License to Kill.
That's we are. There we are. Okay, now that's...
Wow.
I can't give you a clue
that's
on this.
That's 1973 and 1989.
Isn't that Dalton?
So that's... This
Dalton
character
was the second one.
Is like, yow. Yeah.
Felix Leiter. Okay.
I'm terrible with that.
And I have never
Lifeline
heard...
out to Cubby Broccoli.
Can we get the initials?
D-H. As in Lawrence, but not quite. not bloody likely.
I think there should be a constitutional amendment banning the DH.
Good. So do I. It ruined baseball. Thank you.
David someone or other?
It's David is the first name, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
You might
David
save
Hall,
us.
Before a rock financial career.
don't do that. Oh, this one, I'm only going to take off a half point for this because Beth did get the first name. And it is midterm time here
and
at University.
Live and Let Die,
David Hedison.
Oh, yeah. I know who he is.
Okay.
Really? Sure.
I can't picture him.
He's a character actor.
Okay.
I can picture him. I don't know his name.
British, American? Give me some info on this guy.
No, he's a CIA guy.
He's Felix Leiter, dog.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me be.
We don't let Brits into the CIA.
I use Leiter until he goes wrong.
Or Canadians, for that matter.
Yes, I always think of the special branch first. Okay. When a villain goes against 007, it is unlikely that he will be alive by the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There are, however, two notable exceptions. Mm-hmm. One was Ernst
Stavro Blofeld.
Yes, the head of Spectre,
mm-hmm.
who masterminded plots for global domination in the early Bond films and even pitted himself against Bond in three movies
mm-hmm.
and still managed to survive. Originally, he was just a figure whose face was never shown to the audience until Bond met him in You Only Live Twice, on Her Majesty's Secret Service, and Diamonds Are Forever. Name the three actors who played this character.
Telly Savalas was in...
That's right.
My favorite.
Donald Pleasance played him once, didn't he?
Okay, but you got to name the film, so let's... Jeff.
Oh, that one was on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
That's right. Okay, and Donald Pleasance, you're right, B-Dog. Do you know what film that was?
You better pick up the third, man.
Diamonds Are Forever?
Diamonds Are Forever, but this is a different film that Pleasance
played. You know who played him
in
Diamonds Are Forever? That same guy who plays the criminologist in Rocky Horror. I can't think of his name, though.
I'm a Rocky Horror virgin, so...
Oh,
you?
Susan Sarandon.
I would imagine that I've never seen that.
I can't think of his name, though.
Well, wait a minute. We're going to take a break, and let's think about that.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your host, Edmund DeWitt, and today we've got them all. The whole panel is right here today.
Should we hold hands? They won't do anything.
A magic circle.
Is that some kind of Unitarian ritual? You know, my in-laws always do this at Christmas and stuff. You know, they do that.
They eat dinner holding hands.
Yeah,
we used to.
Oh, God.
It's fun.
Okay. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Well, it's less of a pleasure to do than it sometimes is. They won't touch
Can't
me.
Can't take a chair.
Oh, you wanted to hold hands, George.
George, put your pants back on. We will.
And on George's right, the assistant dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Kathy Bush.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'd like to hold hands with Kathy anytime.
But you'd have to do it over George. Wow, that's intriguing.
All right.
And on Kathy's right from the Department of History, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Well, hi, Edwin.
Hi, Sarah. Sarah's right from the Department of English, Professor Claire Schumann Hank Crabtree.
What?
All you gotta do is say cheers, Edwin.
I'm gonna sulk until I find out what that means. Cheers.
Madame Schumann Hank was a very famous contralto.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, who toured the entire Western world in the 20th century, giving farewell concerts for about 35 years.
My forebear, Lotta Crabtree, as people in California might know, made millions of dollars singing.
Ooh, wow.
Operetta style, music hall style stuff around the turn of the century. Than the turn of the century.
Lotta. Neat. Lotta. It was her house that they were going through last week with all those questions. The antiques and the jewels.
She left it to veterans.
Mm.
And horses.
Good for her.
Okay. Well.
That's what they said.
No, Schumann Hank. I should also.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October 2005.
Okay, put down your lighters, and we're back with questions. And these are some great questions on James Bond. So, and pretty tough standard here today. One wrong.
Well,
no, we're at half.
We're half.
Remember, you got parish credit.
We've got the grading. Yeah.
Right. We know.
We're taking your classes from now on.
It's more important that you learn. That's the philosophy here.
So I can't remember that actor who was both Stavro, Blofeld, and also in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. All I remember is he has the rooster claw on his face, you know, the wrinkles
and
in his face.
And you did get it right that he played Blofeld in Diamonds Are Forever. His first name is the same first name as our current dean in liberal arts and education, Charles. And his last name, let's see.
As soon as you say it, I'm going to be able to picture it on the screen dripping red blood.
I don't know if I want to say it now.
I'm a little...
No, not Charles Durning. The second name is the same name as, or the same thing as a really kind of mundane, boring color or sky in November.
Dunn, but...
Gray. There it is, Charles Gray.
As the criminologist...
There you go. And Beth, you had mentioned Donald Pleasance before. You just need to tell us what film it was.
Oh,
it's got to be the fourth
it's
one.
It's not Diamonds.
Think reincarnation, but limited reincarnation.
You only live twice.
There we go. Okay. That's right. So that's it. All right. Okay.
I love Donald Pleasance.
Well, yeah, good actor.
Very underrated.
Well, yeah. This other villain faced James Bond twice, once in The Spy Who Loved Me and again in Moonraker.
Jaws, Richard Kiel.
I haven't gotten there. Okay.
The Spy Who Loved Me has the best of the Bond theme songs because it's Carly Simon.
Yeah.
Oh, true. Nobody does it. No one does
nobody
it better.
Does it better. Okay. Live and Let Die is a close second, though. So.
That's true.
It is. You got it. And so we'll just finish the question, Doc.
Yeah, do you mind?
No. You know it. You got to say it. His name was a bit of a joke, referring to a Steven Spielberg blockbuster that was released about a year before The Spy Who Loved Me. And that villain was...
Teeth were coated with silver
actually had,
or gold.
Yeah, he had like Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of teeth.
How gruesome. Ooh. This Bond girl was known to American TV viewers before she starred with George Lansby in On Her
Diana
Majesty's... And what part did she play on The Avengers?
Emma Peel.
She was not the first...
No, she wasn't the first.
No.
That's
there was
right.
Honor Blackman, and then there was...
The third one was Linda Thorson.
That's right.
I think she was the second one.
She was the second. Yes. Diana was in the middle of that.
My wife bought me that set of videos. I don't know where I put it, but it's somewhere in the basement.
They are
I never opened it, so I want to play
it. Of the Diana Rigg Avengers?
Yes.
Drew is so in love with Diana Rigg and the Avengers.
Is it her Diana Rigg kick me boots, or what?
It's a cat suit.
It's a cat suit. Okay.
It just turns me to water.
If she wore the cat suit on Masterpiece Theater, people would actually watch it.
Yes. She actually has played... The one role that she played that I thought was absolutely diabolical was Mother Love, that she played on a PBS series where her ex-husband was David McCallum, who remarried. And she was so insanely jealous when the son got married that she began to go out and poison, you know, potential suitors and then the wife. And she used marzipan to hide her...
Sounds like Sweeney Todd.
It was. She was so evil in this film, but so passively aggressive evil.
She's fun. She's hilariously funny with Maggie Smith and Evil Under the Sun.
Yes.
They have
very,
great
very good that way.
Back and forth.
Her character ended up married to 007, even though she got killed in the end. And that Bond avenged her death in the next film. Kind of interesting.
No, it wasn't the very next one. It was later.
Oh, well, he just indicates the next one, so.
Oh, we get a point back.
Okay.
I think that actually.
All right. That's it.
Let's see.
And the wife's name is Tracy, so we should get a point for that.
Okay, Bruce. Wow. This is called Extra Credit Friday.
I was going to say,
this is
so familiar to
me. I'm liking this.
They're always nickel and diming me for points.
Absolutely. One of the traditions of the Bond films is to have a big name talent sing the title song of the film. Some artists who have had this honor are Shirley Bassey, Tom Jones, Paul McCartney and Wings, Tina Turner, and Madonna. Mm-hmm. However, there are three Bond movies that just have an instrumental that plays over the opening credits. Okay. What movies are these?
Dr. No, of course, because that's the James Bond theme by John Barry.
Yes, that's
right. Majesty's Secret Service.
Yes.
And, one
more, think Eastern European.
From Russia with Love?
There you are now.
Oh, okay. That's right. It has words, but not in the opening title
sequence. Right. It just plays over that. Okay. While no one sang over the titles in From Russia with Love, someone did sing it when the film ended.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that singer?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's go. We'll try some clues here. First name is the same name of the missing professor from biochem here today.
Greg?
Matt.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, he teaches biology.
Bio. Okay.
I mean, and he teaches.
But how long have you been a panelist on this show?
I'm sorry. Give me a break.
I don't pay attention to you people. Okay, what's your name anyway?
Okay, that's right. And the last name is the same name of a town south of us, very close to a nuclear power plant. So it's the same. His last name is alliterative, and it has the same name as a city near the Toledo, near the Ohio border.
Monroe.
That's right, Matt Monroe.
Never heard of him.
Who is Matt Monroe?
I don't know.
No idea.
That was his 15 minutes, I think, right there.
Okay, we should elongate this. I think it was only about 3.5. Yeah. So if we could give him a little more here, can we do
this
that?
This might be, we are actually in the middle of his 15
minutes. There we
minutes.
Go.
Madonna's song for the song, Die Another Day. Die Another Day is actually a good Bond film because it starts with him being captured by the North Koreans and tortured.
So we're going to save this question for the panel till next time, but let me thank today's panel and special guest, Professor Kokol.
Oh, glad to be here.
Visiting Professor Sharon. Okay, love it.
It was fun to be here.
Professor Kurt Singer.
On Nantucket Nectars for everyone.
Yum, yum, yum. Professor Boats.
Oh, if I'm captured, I'll get my name, rank, and serial number. Jeff Boats, Associate Professor, 3.14159.
Good man. And Professor Holjar.
Later.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. 1995.
Thank you.
You're after welcome. Whom are Baby Ruth candy bars named?
President Kidd's wife.
No.
The president's kid.
Kid, that's right. Grover Cleveland's daughter.
Yeah.
Ruth.
Yeah.
Was that an illegitimate?
So yes. She's the one that, you know.
Is that where's my pa?
Gone to the White House.
That's right.
No, that was the Kennedy years.
No, that was Grover Cleveland.
Yeah. Okay.
Mayor of Buffalo. Hey.
But now, aren't the ads trying to make some connection between Babe Ruth and...
Because they're written by idiots.
Oh, because they don't know.
That's right. They're stupid.
Oh, they're
people.
Not like intentionally misleading.
No,
they just don't know.
Stupid people. Wow. Uneducated,
what?
Stupid people.
People in advertisement are stupid, Edwin? Is that
yes.
What you're trying to
Edwin is yes. leaving out the crucial point. They're uneducated. They're stupid. Highly paid people.
That's
just
right.
They are. But well, we're not bitter. Okay. I'll say
no,
that.
No, not us.
We're too big for that.
We're generous of spirit.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the broadcast hub of the Briggs Building on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, directed, witnessed, everything. He does it all, but Michael Jason. And our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Go Lady Titans, number one in the nation with that GPA. We love you.
And we're back next week with another edition of Ask the Professor. So please plan to join us. Thank you.